This is WZRD on the campus of the University of Chicago, the location where WHPK is binning from the Quad Live. Why are you out here? And say your name, please.
Sure. My name is Sasha Tico. I'm a DJ and the former programming director of WHPK 88.5, which is the oldest college radio station. One of the oldest college radio stations in the country. It's been broadcasting for over 50 years. And we're here today as part of a campaign that we've been working on for 2 weeks to restore 24-hour programming and get back some of the power that's been taken away from us by the University of Chicago administrators. In the past year, the University of Chicago administrators have been enacting a series of policy changes that have been aimed at discouraging involvement from non-student community members. And most recently, they have restricted our access to the station that we've been broadcasting 24/7 from over 30 years. So we no longer can broadcast 24 hours a day. So we've had to cut a third of our programming, especially rock, rap, and jazz programs. So we're here. We've been spinning records all day on the quad since 10 a.m. And we're asking people to call in to the two administrators most directly responsible for these decisions. And that's what we're out here doing today.
Why do you think they've done this at this time? And before we got on mic, you mentioned the term safety.
Right. Their reason for the most recent restriction in our building access has just been safety concerns. And earlier in the spring, they suddenly required all DJs that are unaffiliated with the university, which makes up about half of our staff, to submit their social security numbers to a criminal background check. So I think this is part of a more general university campaign to tighten security in the neighborhood. You know, as a part of kind of a gentrification process in the neighborhood. They just this year increased the number of campus police and security officers. And I think this is sort of part of that campaign. Clearly, there have been no incidents in the building that have led to this sudden interest in our safety.
Have the past policies of inclusion that WHPK had practiced, had they led to any identification of people who shouldn't participate?
Not that I'm aware of. We've never had any sort of requirement to be a DJ other than submitting, you know, a sample playlist or radio show that we, you know, thought was good and interesting. So there's never been any kind of background check or, you know, identity that you've had to have to be part of the station. And then suddenly, you know, I think the deeper issue is whatever, because, you know, the university, they have their justifications for these policies, and whatever their justifications are, I think the deeper problem is the way these policies have been enacted, which have been without really consideration of DJ input or any kind of discussion. So naturally, a lot of DJs who have been with the station for 10, 20 years feel really alienated by the university. And so with these, like, you know, the background checks, and then we had an issue with, like, required pest inspections of our homes, and then with the new hour restrictions, a lot of our longer standing DJs have resigned out of just a feeling of frustration and alienation. So I think that alone is a cause of major concern for us, you know, DJs, you know, the people who make up the station, because these community members are what provide consistency and depth to the station. And if they're resigning, that's a problem.
Were there any DJs that were found to be criminals?
Not that I know of.
And would it matter what someone's background was, as long as they complied with the policies of the station and that they believed in community radio?
It's not on our end. It's been unclear what the university is doing with the background checks beyond just keeping a record of who these DJs are. And but it's a cause for worry. They so far haven't you know, come out and said, you know, if your background check doesn't, you know, meet this and that standard, you can't be a DJ. That hasn't been stated yet. But I think a lot of people feel like they just don't understand why they have to, you know, for a volunteer station, they're not getting paid. They don't understand why they have to do this. And I think that's the problem, is there's just it seems arbitrary and people don't feel like they empowered as DJs, because it's just sort of coming down to them after they've been on the air for 10 years or 15 years.
And what kind of support have you gotten from the community?
The community has been extremely positive. Last week we had a campaign where we had sign-up sheets to call in to the two administrators, Sarah Cunningham and Michael Hayes, who are sort of most directly responsible for these decisions. And we had people calling every 15 minutes for a whole week, at least every 15 minutes, because people were, you know, signed up to call in those slots, but people were calling, you know, in addition to those slots, and people were emailing. We've had long-time, you know, alumni from a long time back, and listeners. A lot of other radio stations have shown a lot of support. All the DJs have been calling and emailing and posting on social media. So it's been really, really positive. I think people really care about WHBK, which has been really great. You know, one of the good things to come out of this is just being able to see how much that's the station means to so many people in the university community, but also in Hyde Park and the greater Chicago community.
People can listen online as well as within range. How many students actively participate?
So we have a staff. Right now it's a little in flux because we've had to cut some programming and shuffle around the shows, but at our usual operating hours, we have about 150, 160 DJs, and about half of those are students and half of those are non-student community members.
And in the larger context of the University of Chicago's position in Hyde Park and its practice of taking over the community, some would say gentrifying, making it kind of exclusionary, could you place what is currently underway with the shortening of the hours such that it's eliminating community participation?
Yeah, I think that's a big issue, because WHBK, which is currently classified as a registered student organization, is one of the largest student, you know, led organizations on campus, and is by far the largest organization that includes people who aren't students or affiliated with the university. With the current restrictions, we've had to cut a lot of our rap and jazz shows, or moved around those hours, cut the hours back, and those are two of our, you know, longest running and sort of most acclaimed formats, and mostly run by, you know, not by students. That seems like, you know, it's clearly, you know, that's a racial issue that the university's not really willing to engage with. And it just seems like a general sort of aggression towards, DJs who aren't students or white.
You're a former student. When you were here, what did it mean to you to be able to engage with community members through the facility of radio?
Yeah, it was immensely. It was like WHBK was like the most important thing in my undergrad experience, other than the classes I was taking. I got to know a lot more, learn a lot more about, you know, music history, Chicago's history, the history of the South Side. I got to, you know, befriend people who are in their 50s or whatever and have lived in Chicago their whole life and kind of learn a lot from them. It's been, I think a lot of people talk about WHBK as a home. That's like the word that a lot of people use, and that's kind of how I felt as an undergrad who I felt not so comfortable with a lot of the campus, like, undergrad culture. It was kind of a refuge for me. And it's, like, WHBK is also how I got my current job working at a music venue from, you know, I got hired by, an older community member DJ, and I work with a few of them at a music venue now. And it's how I started DJing, you know, getting DJ gigs. And so it's, like, been just kind of, like, my life now, you know, in my postgraduate life, is deeply influenced by my time at WHBK. I mean, I'm still at WHBK, but my time there as an undergrad.
Right. Now you've got a working life, a professional life. Would you say that you would have been denied the opportunity to expand your worldview, your cultural sensibilities, your global awareness, had the station not operated as it had in the past?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It was like WHBK was like how I got, you know, kind of, it was like where I started to learn about the South Side and Chicago and all this music and culture that is so deeply embedded in the history of this place and of this neighborhood specifically. And this the campus has a reputation that I think is true of being pretty insular and sort of a bubble. And it's
The majority are graduate students on
right,
this campus.
Right, right. And I think WHBK was sort of my way out into a world outside of the University of Chicago that was really important. I mean, it was like, it's just, it really, you know, made my experience and what I was, you know, my knowledge base a lot richer and deeper. So
more humanizing than this straight ahead University of Chicago?
That's definitely a way to put it, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And is there an infestation of bed bugs on this campus?
Yeah, no, there isn't. The university brought in, so this is kind of like the weird straw man that in this whole story where one bed bug was found in the station in the summer. And, as a result, they brought in inspectors and found that there was no infestation in the record library, but when they found another bed bug, so they thought, in this building that hundreds of people cycle through every day, they closed the station for a month and required all DJs to get a pest inspection of their home.
Under what threat?
In order to be a DJ, you wouldn't be allowed back into the station without getting a pest inspection of your home. And originally, I mean, the administrators said they weren't going to pay for it, so the cost of the inspection was going to fall on the individual DJs, but our wonderful station manager managed to find some loopholes in our own budgeting policy so that WHBK could fund everyone's pest inspections out of our own budget. But
the results of that were?
And no DJ was found with an infestation of their home. And then after the station was shut down for a month and supposedly, exterminators came in, we opened for a day and then another bed bug was found and then they shut it down for another week. It's just been sort of a weird thing. And then since then there's been no mention, no bed bug sightings. No one had an infestation of their home. So it was all sort of unclear, confusing what was going on with that. But
maybe a false flag
right,
operation.
Yes, possibly.
The infestation may be too much neoliberalism right. on the campus.
Yeah, one could say that. But yeah, so since then really quickly after that, they announced suddenly that we wouldn't be able to have, round-the-clock access to the station. So they also have placed restrictions on the guests that we can have in our show, so we can only have, I think originally they proposed that we would not allowed to have any guests on our shows, which anyone who has ever listened to radio knows how common and important it is to have guests on your shows. That's you know, for a lot of people
that's the
meat of their
and
show,
and
right? Right. So again, our station manager was negotiated so you can only have. You can have your guests can only come four times in a quarter. Otherwise, they have to get a background check, basically, and a pest inspection of their home. So just again to like reiterate kind of what is going on, because there's sort of a lot of different things that are a lot of different sudden policy changes. I think that each individually can or cannot be like explained away by the university, but I think there's clearly a pattern of policies being enacted without really much discussion or, you know, an openness for DJs to provide any input. And a lot of these policies are leading to reduced like autonomy and agency of the station. You know, yeah, you could say censorship, because they're like reducing our hours, limiting who can come on the show, what kind of people are allowed, you know, in the station, what kind of people is it easy to, you know, it's really about, you know, they may not be directly denying people or banning certain people, but you know, whether people feel welcomed. Yeah, it's really a matter of like, is this a welcome, you know, who's welcomed into the station. So we're just out here mostly trying to, a lot of this campaign, and you know, we have specific demands, which are restoring 24-hour programming and reconvening a governing board that includes student and non-student DJs in addition to faculty administrators, that can, you know, where all policies have to go through this board before they, you know, are enacted. And so those are our two demands, but the sort of greater, deeper thing we're trying to do here is just like stand up, you know, for our own, you know, empower ourselves, such that the administrators have to listen to us. They can't just keep, you know, bullying us and ignoring our voices. The university was in the news for a letter that they sent out to all incoming freshmen, first years, about, you know, safe, you know, kind of coming out against safe space type ideologies, and you know, in the name of freedom of inquiry and expression on a campus that welcomes people of all backgrounds. And we think that they're directly contradicting their words. But yeah, so the two people you can call, right, are Sarah Cunningham, and that number is 773-834-0861. So 773-834-0861. And the other person is Michael Hayes, who's sort of right above this office. And, you know, he's the assistant vice president of student life. And you can call him and say hello at 773-702-7770. So 773-702-7770. And we're just asking people call in and, you know, in support of WHBK and our demands for 24-hour programming and a reconvened governing board and just our greater autonomy and agency and ability to broadcast freely. And yeah, we'd appreciate all the support. And we also have a Facebook page. If you go to facebook.com/savewhbk, you can find out more information.
Thank you. This is WZRD from the University of Chicago's quad on the south side of Chicago.